Welcome to episode 42 of the SuperOffice podcast. I'm Hans Christian Grunslet, your host, and today we're getting into how to boost your B2B sales. The world's changing. Markets, sales processes, and buyers are all shifting. We'll cover what this means for you and how to make your revenue more predictable. Ready to find out? Let's get started. Yes, I pressed that red magic button. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the SuperOffice podcast. Well, it's been maybe 2 weeks now, but you know, if you wait for something good, you will be surprised. And today I have a friend of the pod in the studio with me, and she has actually been here before. I had to check it out, and it was episode 5. That's when we really discussed why you should go to the cloud. And most of you guys listening to this podcast is already in the cloud. So I think mission is accomplished. Dear Camilla Heidenreich-Bummen, welcome. Right.
Thank you so much. That's quite some time ago, but very nice to be back, Jose.
Ah, that's super cool. You know, we talk very often about a lot of interesting stuff. And well, this week, you actually presented internally for our R&D engineers in SuperOffice how we sell and how we win and close deals in, you know, a really tough market. Yeah. Is it tough now these days?
Yes, it is. It's very tough. It's a competitive market. We have, we're in the CRM business. There are many vendors with a wide range of solutions. There's also a tough market due to the financial circumstances. So money is tighter and it's more linked to the demand of value. So you don't buy unless it will help you with solve your problems or reach your ambitions. So we see that it's important to be relevant and to talk more business oriented than earlier, where we maybe a few years back could get away talking about technology and functions and features. It's now more about value, business value.
Yeah. And I guess that's it's more fun and it's more engaging and it's more challenging. So, you know, it pushes some pressure on us to really grow and educate ourselves in order to match that level with the customers.
Absolutely. To be relevant, to talk about what's important to the customers. And as you say, it demands something of us. So we need to master the new rules of the game.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, things goes up and things go down. You have these trend lines. And I guess luckily for us, we are solving problems that is important when things are tough. And it's also important when things are really rolling smooth, because you really need to have a tight grip of your customers anywhere.
Yeah, it's, you know, ERP, but you have to have it by law. CRM, that's voluntary. But if you choose not to have proper control or how to find, catch and keep customers, you're gonna miss out. You're gonna miss out on opportunities. And in this market where growth is really difficult, I think CRM is more important than ever.
Yeah, and I don't think you find any board in companies that are not interested in either the top line or the bottom line or the P&L or the profitability sheet in any company, and you really need to focus on these things, and CRM is the thing that you can help keep growing or reducing the churn. You know, people lose customers as well. Yeah. So that's
about
a topic.
Sorry.
Come on.
I just wanted to add that it's about the ability to be proactive. Because if you read the balance sheet, you know how it's been going, but you don't know what the result this month, this quarter, this half year will be. But with a proper CRM solution, you do know that I'm not going to reach my targets unless I do something. And then you're able to do that something in time.
Yeah, that's true. So in this episode, then we're going to talk about, you know, how can we help winning more business in a proper way, because we see that sales cycles are dragging out as well. And of course, we see that there are more people involved in the decision making. So naturally, this just assembling all of this and having more meetings, more things going on. But we'll talk through that coming up here. But let's start. And our angle here, Camille, is that you know, this is good for all our customers. But we're also working like this internally, so we're actually sharing some of the things in our own experience. And I think that's key here as well, being open about that.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. So you know, what we see, what where's the place to start? I mean, everybody selling something has to solve some problems. Which problems are we solving?
Oh, we are mainly solving five problems for our customers. And I think they are sort of at the center of success for most companies. We help companies find new customers. So if you struggle with that today, we enable companies to find new customers, either in markets they're in already or in new markets. We help them. That's number one. Number two, we help companies sell more to existing customers through insights, through professional sales processes, through white space selling, through customer programs. Number three, we help customers reduce churn. So when you spend a lot of time finding and catching customers, you don't want to lose them due to the fact that you don't answer their inquiries or that you deliver poor service. So we help reduce customer churn. And number four, we improve the customer experience by having a CRM suite where all contact points for a customer see the same. We're able to be proactive and deliver better customer experiences and also self-help 24/7. And the last area that we help companies with is that we help them increase productivity. So we give them support in their work tasks and they are able to do more with less.
Hmm. Yes, if we look at the first two, one you mentioned, you know, find new customers, that's like net new, trying to attract customers who might not know you. You don't have that many relationships. So that versus the existing customer base, right, where they really know you. And but you can, of course, risk that other people are trying to attract or attack your customers. But in today's market, where do you see our customers is struggling? Are they on the find new customers, or is it like trying to? Is there more to win on serving your own customers?
Oh, that's a difficult question. And we always ask our customers to prioritize which one of these two are the most important. Mm. Because you actually have to master both, right? Because there will always be some churn in an existing customer base. So you will have to add new customers. But I mean, the lowest hanging fruit is probably for most companies to get a proper overview of their existing customers, what they bought from you, what they don't have, what's the upsell opportunity, what's the cross-sell opportunity, how can you deliver better service so that you don't lose so many customers. So those are tightly linked. So I'd probably say that the lowest hanging fruit is to get control over your existing customers.
Yeah, and that means actually that there's a lot of
your sound is missing.
Is my sound missing? Is it there now, or?
Yeah, but maybe there was just I hear you now. So
yeah, okay, that's good. You know, I'm sitting in my little what do you call it? Shack inside the office.
Cubicle.
cubicle is a very nice one, actually. But the wifey is here, is a little bit back and forth. Okay, it says, okay. That's right. So you're into some of these tactics here. And what I was going to say is that, number one, if you have a lot of customers, you need to treat them well, right? Because you have a lot of talk about startups and scale-ups, and they have different problems because they don't have any customers yet. So they are in this trying to attract more customers all the time. But if you've been around for 10, 20, 30 years, like many customers in the Nordics have been, they really have to take care of their existing customer base. Okay, so these five pain points.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
That's typically what we why we help more mature companies than startups and scale-ups. They're typically within our ideal customer profile, that you have existing customers that you want to sort of make the most out of your customer portfolio.
Mm, yeah, that's right. And then you talked a little bit about, reducing the customer churn. Churn, that means actually that you're losing a customer, they are going bankrupt, or they're going to a competitor, or they're downsizing. And I guess today, people with this rising cost, that's also a parameter that people have to think about. And for us, maybe if they're not
absolutely
using...
Absolutely. And
go ahead. There's a lag.
There's a little lag in the sound, there is, you continue, and I'll answer your question.
Yeah, I in a tough economic situation, we're talking about losing customers, but you also experience that some customers are reducing their engagement. They are downsizing, right? We hear from time to time in some industries, now the construction industry is on low gear due to higher interest rates, and then they have to downsize and be more efficient as well, because they are losing on existing customers.
Exactly. So what we often help our customers do is to make sure that their customers, because they're suddenly becoming much more price sensitive and demands that the products that they bought brings value. So by having a proper customer program, you are able to sort of get in front of challenges with the customers. You're able to maybe help them swap products in difficult times so that they themselves can better take care of their customers. So it doesn't end up being a customer churn, but maybe not even a reduction, but the swap of products or services.
Yeah. But you need to be there for them, because it's very easy to, forget the customer and then work with, your favorite top 10 or top 20 customers. And then you have a bunch of customers not getting your attention.
Yeah, I mean, I probably shouldn't tell this story because we're in CRM, but many years ago, we did a test because we didn't have a customer program. I have to mention that I've been with the company for almost 19 years, so this was a long time ago. But when it's up to the salesperson to decide who they want to meet, I mean, we're humans, so we tend to choose the route of least resistance, right? Mm. So there was a lot of important customers that hadn't been visited because they were maybe more challenging to meet with than the ones you knew very well. So I think a lot of companies will be shocked if they do a proper review of what customers have been visited or not, unless they do this systematically. And in these times, that's the best way to sort of get kicked out, is if a customer or a company feels that you don't care about them. That's 68% of all customer churn is related to that fact, that customers feel you don't care about them. So make sure you care about your customers, especially in these times.
Yeah. And that's where a systematic approach built into your CRM system would be one solution to that. So you don't make that personal judgment, which might not be the right for that specific customer. Okay. So five different pain points. I think we covered that. So if you have a solution, can't you just set it up based on all the feature sets that is offered into that solution?
Yeah, the thing is that as I mentioned earlier, it's many, but some think that CRM is all about software, but CRM is all about strategy. It's about you having a proper meaning behind what you want to do. Who do you want to be? For what customer group? How will you beat your competitors? In what part of the markets? With what products? With what value proposition? How will you win market share? How will you deliver the best customer service there is and the best customer experience? CRM has all about you sitting down and discussing these questions in your management team and then setting up a solution that will allow you to do that. So CRM is all about strategy, about knowing or having a clear ambition of what you want to achieve. And unless you have that clear ambition, it's very difficult to succeed.
But these questions, Camilla, these are very challenging. You know, if I was in the management group and you come in and ask me these questions, I would say, well, we want to have the best customer experience to all our customers, right? We want to sell to all kind of segments that come by because we have some small customers and some big customers and, you know, we don't want to say no to anything. And, you know, we want to give a great experience to, you know, we're the best. We just want to be there for all our customers. And you're saying that that's not possible. We have to choose.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's not possible. If you want to do it all, you end up doing none of it very well. So you have to prioritize. And I mean, all the five areas that we help companies with are very important and they're very central to being successful. And in an ideal world, and maybe a year or two down the lane, maybe you do all five of them really, really well. That's called 360-degree CRM. But if you want to sort of revitalize or start up or implement something, then you have to choose what's the most important thing to do well first.
Mm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense when you say it, and I guess that it's like maybe you mentioned it. It's like being everything for someone rather than anything for everyone, right? So you really go down, and
exactly.
You want to build those relationships with the right customers. Okay, so how do we get there?
That's quite painful. Yeah, how do we get there? Well, you have to just wanted to add that this leads to you saying no to something, to some business, some leads, some tasks that you don't want to spend time on. So it's not just it's very easy to say, but it's gonna, if you want your salespeople to have an average deal size of a certain amount, you can't allow them to work on the small cases. So if you want to have really satisfied customers, you can't allow everyone to sort of reinvent the wheel every time. You have to create the best practice, and you have to follow it.
Hmm.
And you have to measure on it in the systems and everything. So, what we see is that more than features and functions, we have to communicate and show how they can earn more money or reduce churn or, as you said, improve the top or bottom line. We have to, in our sales cases now with customers, sit down and discuss what is the monetary effect of doing these things. What is the value that you will create if you change your business and use CRM as a tool?
Mm.
How much more will you earn? How much less will you churn? Wow, that even rhymed.
Yeah, that's a good one. But let's go into that because it's all about having a process, right? You said best practice, and in SuperOffice we have our own process that we've built for years and iterated on, improving all the time. But I think also you say that a key word might be qualification criteria. You know, if you have to go after the right target, you have to be very precise when you, in your marketing activities, try to find the right prospects. And of course, when you get them in, you have to be really solid on a couple of KPIs in order to move that case going forward. And we have a pretty good good formula for that, Camilla. I can hardly remember it.
I remember it. Do you remember it, Jose?
Yeah, I think I do. I might not have the order of it, but I would say to all my listeners or our listeners here that you should now have a pen in your hand, right? because it's a couple of words and abbreviations. So should we just say the word out? PPVVC.
Yeah, PPVVC. So what does that mean? Well, it's as you said, it's a formula. There's a multiplication sign between the different letters, meaning that if any of these dimensions are zero, the sale will end with zero, or you won't be able to sort of have a successful sales process. Hmm. So there are two P's, two V's and one C. And the first P, that's pain. Why is that there? Well, it's there because unless you're able to discover the customer's pain and the reasons for it, it will not motivate any change. So there has to be a compelling reason to act. And that's something that you want to do better, something that you want to increase, something that you want to reduce.
And most customers know their pain, at least a couple of them, but maybe they don't want to tell you in the beginning, right? Or is that?
Yeah, they might know the pain. The pain could be that you don't reach your sales targets, but you might not necessarily know the reason for the pain. Mm. Mm. So that's where we come in, because we have 35 years experience with talking to customers about these reasons. And we have seen and helped implement thousands of solutions. So we know a lot of what the most common problems are.
Yeah.
So then we can sort of help by asking, is this something you experience? Does it look like this? Does it feel like that?
Yeah.
So that's why we try to help uncover the reasons for the pain.
Yeah. Okay, and great. Then that's the P.
Yeah, that's the first P. The second P is power. And that's based on the fact that you cannot sell to someone who cannot buy. So if you do a lot of great sales work with someone who doesn't have a power to change something, then it's a waste of your time. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that you have the person signing the deal in the room and on board the process in one way or another.
But it's not really that easy as it was before, where you might have talked to that person. Now you might experience that there's a purchasing department needs to be in, IT needs to be in, the CRO, the chief revenue officer, the CFO. There's a lot of people who, especially if you go up in the value chain here with a little bit higher things, and that's where you want to be. You want to have higher order values, right?
Yeah, so it's more a matter of buying committees than just one person. I think there's the latest research shows that at least five people are involved in purchases of a certain amount.
Yeah.
So or five roles in the company.
Yeah, and most likely you won't get all of those in your first meeting. So it's a job to you know, map out different pains, because some of the people have maybe different pains as well.
Yeah, yeah. And all of us, that's been part of the solution selling, also know about the pain chains. I mean, so pain might look like something to you, but then your boss has another take on that pain or another consequence of that pain. Yeah.
Okay. So P and P, and then you have two V's.
Yes. So pain, power, and then comes the first V, which is vision. Because a customer don't buy what it is, they buy what it does for them. So you have to create sort of the vision. You have to create that a yearning for the new world where things will be like this, where you are able to... And sort of the capabilities that will be available to you. You will have insights at your fingertips of what's important to you. You will be able to be proactive. You will be able to see which customers are forgotten. You will be able to see if you start enough new sales processes and so forth.
Yeah, so when you're done with the implementation from our side, then you will have a totally different experience on what matters to you.
Yeah. So usually when we talk about this with the customer, we ask them 6 months down the lane after we've done the implementation, 12 months from now, where are you that will allow you to say that this was a huge success? What has happened? Where is your company at? What are you able to do? What have you achieved? And that's the vision. Or that's what we build the vision around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that means a combination
what you have
of...
to do then in a solution with routines, with best practices in order to get there.
Yeah, and that's a combination of solutions and, of course, employee engagement and training and change of routines and stuff like that. Yeah, the whole thing.
And change management and top management, ownership, end user adoption, everything. So it's not a quick fix. It's a holistic approach.
Yeah, and you need to be.
But it's also
trained.
Lean. That you just have that because it's easy that this sounds like a management consulting project running for 6 months months in total. It doesn't have to be, and it rarely is. We don't have any services or consultancy or our partners or SuperOffice that's not linked to implementing CRM. It's not a huge beast. It's very lean.
Yep.
Because this is the only thing we do.
Yep. And then you have the last V there, which is the value part.
That's the value. Yeah, and that's to be able to sort of create and establish a numeric value in the minds of the buyers of what they will achieve if they do this. And that, again, fuels the reason to act because this is what they will achieve. And this is also how they can measure success.
Mm.
Did they achieve ROI within the first year? Did they increase sales? Did they reduce churn and so forth? And with our biggest customers, we have something called red carpet meetings, where we invite the management of our customers talking to our management, and that's when we look at these numbers. Where are we at now? And then we also have some insights, a health check into are you using the solution in the right way in the organization in order to get there, or do we need to enhance something and so forth.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. But I guess many who have tried this before to identify that value is, you might come up with surprises where it looks like it's a huge value, but you need to be sort of realistic about it. And how can you get your buy-in from the customer here? Because they need to own it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, everyone can create great value in an Excel sheet. And just saying that all salespeople will sell for 10% more if they get this, it could be true, but then it has to be backed up by the customer, by the, as you mentioned, the training, the measuring, the measurement, the best practice that will allow them to do this. So it has to be in agreement with the customer that we sort of define what we think is realistic. And it's better to say that not all you won't get all your salespeople to change their behavior overnight. So it might take time. We have statements from customers where they say that they have improved sales by 30-40%. That's maybe an unrealistic ambition to have, but it could be that you will improve 8% the first year, or yeah.
I see. Okay, and then the last factor here is to see the control.
The control, and that demands that you have consent throughout the process from the right people, so that you don't sort of run a whole sales process and create the business case. No one has sort of given their input during the way, and you end up with something that the customer doesn't feel ownership for. So consent throughout the sales process is really important.
Yeah. How do you, or when do you find out when you don't have control? You know, that's a really difficult thing because consequences does it have for you as a manager?
Well, first of all, we might then have given the board or the the wrong forecasts, because we think we have control. In sales cases, we think they're going to land, and then it turns out that we haven't been in control at all. So if you have too many of those cases, you end up being unpredictable, which is a deadly sin when it comes to sales. Mm. I think that's the big thing. And there are things you can do in order to sort of try to control the sales process and the quality of it. And that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to put this into a framework where every meeting with a customer, every conversation is sort of layered off in something that we document, the business case.
Mm.
And that will show you whether you have control or not.
Yeah. So let's go a little bit into, you know, okay, this business case. We've had an episode on business case before in the SuperOffice podcast, but that was a little bit different angle. That was having internal business case and support for that. Now we're in the sales process. And this is a thing that you guys have put together, and it actually works in order to close deals predictably. Tell us a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, we have sat back and discussed how can we try to put this very complex selling situation into a framework where it's easily repeatable or easily repeated by salespeople, and where they know what to ask for and what kind of meetings to have with the customer. So we came up with a business case template, which one of our consultants has made look really, really nice as well. We focus then on the customer's challenges. So that's at least some of the meetings where we go in depth to figure out what are your main challenges and the reasons for them. We are able to sort of suggest a solution to that challenge. We are able to sort of calculate the value of doing that change and also the KPIs that you should measure on in the solution. So we sort of link it all together with going from the business side to how this could look in SuperOffice. Dashboards should you have? What should you measure on? What do you need to do when it comes to templates, routines, and so forth in order to get to this vision?
Yeah. Like we said, we called it pains in the beginning of the episode here, but challenge and pain. And as you said, you might have two or three or four or five, but you have to prioritize. Get the top maybe two or three to discuss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, we mentioned, for instance, existing customers. That was maybe the low-hanging fruit for many of our customers today. So if their challenge is that they're not selling enough to existing customer or their pain, the result is, of course, that they don't reach the budget. But what does it look like? Well, it might be, if we look into it, some of the reasons for why they don't they're not selling enough to existing customers is that they don't know which customers to prioritize. They don't know what products the customers have bought. They forget to follow up on proposals and quotes. They don't have a high enough activity level towards these customers. And because the customer base is not segmented, they don't have an overview of which customers are really important to handle well and which customers have a really big potential to sell more to. And so the result of all this is that they're not reaching their targets.
Mm.
And also that probably customer churn is high because you don't take care of your existing customers.
Mm.
So there's a lot to be earned by doing something about this.
Mm. Yeah.
So if that's the pain or the challenge, then we would move on and say that, okay, the solution to this is to design and implement a customer program where you categorize your customer base based either on revenue or potential. I mean, this is entirely up to you and what you think gives you the highest effect. And you will then make sure that you don't forget any customers, and you will make sure that you're also able to start more sales processes based on activity level or white space insights, because you're suddenly able to do upsell and cross sell based on that you have info on the customer.
Yeah, that means that you can segment and get out selections and lists so that you can run a campaign and you can follow up with the meetings and webinars and to be more directed and focused.
Exactly. Give me all customers who have this a product A but not product B. Give me all customers who bought the previous year but hasn't bought anything this year. Give me all customers who have more than 10 tickets in support. I mean, these are then insights that will that you will be able to capitalize on because you're able to deliver a better service.
Yeah. And of course, you have to be able to have the data to support this. And many customers don't have that in the system. That's why they're struggling.
Yeah. So that's based on this is what you should design your CRM solution on. The business needs. So you have this pain, this is the solution. Okay, so then the CRM solution will have to have this data, or you will be able to have to look up so that you can. So the vision is that you every morning when you come to work, you go into your dashboard and you get an overview of all forgotten customers. And that's the first thing your salespeople do. So they call them. Or even better, you're told before they're forgotten, so that you're able to be proactive. These are about to be orphans, as we call them. So please make sure that they're warm and cozy. You will be able to see how many new sales processes you've started. You will be able to see your pipeline versus budget. And of course, the white space overview. What's your potential when it comes to selling to existing customers?
And I guess these problems are universal problems very often, right?
Very often.
So what is the feedback when you meet some of these customers and this is, you know, does it end here because we tell them this is the end result, or is it sort of this is what they also tell you in the meetings or the red carpet meetings?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
No, you know, we have experience. We know a lot about this. Sometimes happen, and it's easy to put the words in the mouth of the customer. But when you have the red carpet meetings, we're meeting with the buying committee or the management committee of big customers. They're coming to us, and they're telling us about what their issues are. Does it?
Yeah. The reason why we have these pains down pat is because we've heard them a lot of times. So customers say the same. It's very often the same kind of challenges. It's not selling enough to existing customers, not difficulty finding new customers. Maybe because they don't know what their best customers today look like, so they're not able to do twin analysis, they're not able to have a professional mailing, they're not able to capture leads from the website in forms and chat. And there are many well-known challenges. And customers tend to, when we sort of mention, is this something that you struggle with? They tend to sort of take the ball and run with it. And
And it's easy to have too many problems on the plate. So you really need to prioritize and come down to maybe one. Yeah. What's the key thing to fix?
You have to start with the most important thing.
Yeah. So making action happen with them, then what you need, we talked about the effect of the changes.
So when you've sort of found the pain and the challenge and you have a possible solution to it, then it's about calculating the effect. So in the example that we've gone through with existing customers, we would say that typically doing something with this challenge gives you three benefits or positive effect. You will increase sales to existing customers by X percent based on the fact that you will have increased activity levels, that you will have insights into what to sell, and that based on the fact that you won't forget your outstanding proposals. So that's one key effect. And then you will discuss with the customer, do we believe this is something that we will improve? And the second area is that we think also that you will build a bigger pipeline through through this insight. And you will be more professional when it comes to sales forecasting due to the fact that everyone has overview of their pipeline, of the phases, so you will be more predictable. And the third is that happier customers who feel taken care of, they churn less. So we think you will churn less. So if your average customer is 200,000 NOK and you will lose 10 less customers in a year, that's 2 million. So that could be an effect. These are typical areas where you will see monetary effect if you do something about this challenge of not selling enough to or taking care of existing customers. And then you will have to discuss with the customer what is a relevant or realistic ambition level for you.
Yeah. And then I guess people, you know, they're busy. There are many initiatives going on in any company. So there might be conflicting initiatives. And how do you answer to that? You know, instead of doing the whole thing, can you split it up and start on a smaller project and then move it up? Or
yeah, well, what we try to do is something called staged or phased implementation. We try to start with the most important thing. And then because we end up with, as you mentioned earlier, more challenges. So we start with the one that's most key. And then when that's in place, we have sort of lined up the rest that you can or the customer can choose. Okay, so now we've done the customer program. We need some help with finding new customers now. Okay, so then let's tackle that, because then you have it's often easier when you've done a successful first implementation, because people are on board, they're using the tool, so it's easier to add on more processes.
Yeah, and they actually see that they're getting some value both personally and for the company by doing stuff after each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So so you can iterate this and you can come up with this and then it says for itself, because that's why you need to talk to more people as well, because they might have different pains, but they have to end up in the same room agreeing on this. And that's where this business case template is nice, because you're summing up everything and you said you have to have control, they have to accept it and consent to it, agree to it, because at the end...
Yeah.
In the end, you have this C for control, and I think that you have a pretty big and good tool for that as part of the business case.
Exactly, and also what's good about this is that it ends up being a presentation that's often used in the board meetings, where the CEO can present it to the board or whoever owns the CRM project presents it to the rest of the management group or the board, and they can, it's sort of on the business level. It's not on an IT implementation level.
Mm, yeah. And how do you drive the project? Is it like, what delays the project, to put it in a different way?
Often the delays in the project comes from the customer not being able to prioritize because they have other big projects, or key people are not necessarily informed, which is also where the business case helps us, because it helps us get priority, because the people in charge see that this is something that we need to prioritize if we want to do better. So that's often... So instead of just getting, sometimes customers don't have a proper project manager in place. So you end up trying to be the project manager also for the customer. But when we use this business case, it's easier to get the right attention.
Yeah. And you have something at the end there that's like a timeline for decision. That drives the project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two words about that.
Part of the business case is, of course, then the plan of the implementation, and it's also a plan of the process moving forward. So that we all agree on the decision line, and that we figure out what do you need to know more about before it's sort of too late. For instance, over the last year, 2 years, we've seen that when almost everything is done and dusted and we're ready to sign the contract, then legal gets back and say, oh, compliance, GDPR, we need to do another round. So then it's important to get that on the sort of in the progress plan early, so that legal is involved earlier and not someone holding up the project when everything is ready.
Yeah, it's like everybody with a veto right, they should be on board for some reason early in the process.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. And then if everything goes well, then a customer will sign a contract and we will start an implementation. And the big thing is that they will start getting some value from their new solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's when the job starts. That's where the CRM.
Yeah,
the CRM strategy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So you've been using this for some time. Is it, does it work?
It works.
Yeah.
It's, all that we've talked about now is part of the sales process. So it sort of demands that you have really good, we have really good pre-sales so that they're able to sort of translate quite advanced and often technical challenges from customers into what does this mean in the CRM solution? How do you translate this to SuperOffice? It also demands of salespeople that they become not management consultants, but more of a management consultant, more business oriented, more able to sort of challenge and advise. So it's a really rewarding process, but it's, as you see, quite time consuming because this is not the delivery we're discussing. This is the sales process. And of course, then that continues into the delivery of the solution as well. So it has to be really good communication between sales and consulting. Because they are, instead of starting anew, they will just then take the baton and run. So
yeah. And I think you mentioned the word there. You have to, you know, if you're a trusted advisor for the company, then they will look at you as somebody who can help them, and they trust that you will lead them in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can
you're not the seller who you're not the hit and run seller. You're an advisor.
And going back to the positioning and the ideal customer profile, that also means that, you know, you need to say no to the small ones because they take just the same amount of time and effort than if you double your ICP or the size of the company or the average pipeline deal.
Exactly. So when sales is as complex as this, you can't afford to do it on companies that's not part of your customer group or ICP.
So that means that you need to cooperate with between sales and marketing and the whole shebang, tear down the silos.
Yeah, so there's no question. You need 360 degrees CRM. We're just saying that you have to start with the most important thing and then take the other parts as you master each area.
Yeah. Okay, great. Hey, time flies, you know, when it's interesting, Camilla. 48 minutes now. Yeah. So, final advice. I guess this advice goes to salespeople. This is a lot of, this is a new ball game, but how to get started? You cannot do this maybe on all cases. Should you just do it on a few?
Yeah, decide which cases will bring you to budget. Start with those. I mean, define your must-win cases. Use the methodology. And maybe my biggest advice is that be ambitious on your own behalf, be the best version of yourself, read up, figure out what's happening in the market, ask ChatGPT about specific customers or markets before you go into meetings. Make sure that you are sort of that you're dressing yourself for success when it comes to being knowledgeable. Have grit, don't give up, and just decide that you are going to be the best salesperson ever.
Yeah, that's cool. And you mentioned ChatGPT because you can actually prepare questions. You know, if I'm a professional B2B salesperson in this industry, I'm going to meet the buying committee, which consists of this and that position in that industry. What do you think they would ask me to challenge me as a salesperson? And it's all about, and we see now survey after survey that it's all about relationships, that you really tackle this being prepared and knowledgeable. But you can prepare yourself. You don't have to sort of wait till you get there to get all this knowledge. So it's really powerful tools for anybody out there.
I agree. And unless you get on board, you're missing out and you're going to be overrun.
Yeah, let's hope this gives a kicker to everybody and trying it out. Where can we reach you, Camilla? Is it on LinkedIn?
You can reach me on LinkedIn, of course.
That's great. And cool. And I must say congratulations on the Women's Day today.
Thank you so much.
You are one of the power.
Congratulations to you too.
Thank you
it's
very much.
It's an important day for all of us.
Yeah, and you're part of the Women in Tech movement because you've been, you know, in management for many, many years here in SuperOffice doing a great job. What is your advice to other young women wanting to take place in the tech environment?
First of all, I would say that I think in my mind, I think tech is quite we have a large degree of equality. Because it's a quite new industry. So I've been in tech for all my working years and I'm over 50, so that's quite a few now. And I've never experienced negative experiences. So first of all, go for tech. That's good. And secondly, my other advice to all, not just women, but maybe especially women, because they tend to be more... modest. If a woman doesn't tick all the boxes in a recruitment ad, they tend not to go for the job. But men, if they tick and only lack three, that's quite good. So when you get the chance, take it. Fake it till you make it, and just go for it. Because there will always be people willing to help you succeed.
Yeah. Very good. Great advice. All right. So again, Camilla, thank you very much for enlightening us on the CRM sales side of things. And until next time, I'll be sure to invite you on another topic as well.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
That's what we had, people. Thanks for tuning into the episode. We hope, or I hope, you picked up some great insights today on adapting to the evolving B2B landscape. Got questions or topics for us? Email me at hc@superoffice.com. Your feedback and shares means a lot. Special shout out today to all the women listening. Cheers for the Women's Day. You mean a lot, and Women in Tech is here. Catch you on our next episode. See you.